Father, we praise you for that glorious city we are going to one day. Thank you for heaven, for the glories that await us. When the Savior left here, he said he was going to prepare a place for us. And Father, it's going to be a glorious, wonderful place. And we thank you that right now, while we're still here in this land of trouble and trial, that we have the Holy Spirit within us as a pledge. We know what our future will be. You've given us a taste of glory and your power within us to live in this world of sin and trials, to have victory over sin, to proclaim the message of the gospel to those who don't yet know Jesus, to stand strong and with courage, to be bold in the midst of attack. And Father, we pray that we would be strengthened by our time together here this morning through the worship and through the word, through our fellowship as we talk with each other afterwards, and through all that goes on here this morning. We pray that your church will be built up, that we will be encouraged as brothers and sisters and go forth for the battle that awaits us today and through the week. Father, thank you again for this time together. We pray your name will be glorified and Jesus lifted high. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Let's have our scripture reading. This is from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we'll be reading from verse 21 through 34. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 34. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. But for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you that we can gather this way on this Lord's Day. And we ask your blessings upon each one who has come today, that we might truly be encouraged and strengthened during these days. We just thank you for your love to us and every blessing that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your holy will to be done in every life. We pray for those that cannot be with us today for one reason or another. We ask you to watch over them and keep them in your care. We think of those who are suffering, our Father, today from the virus, and we do pray that you might have mercy upon them. We pray, O Lord, that you'll help us to get through this situation as you have helped us so many times in the past, and we just thank you that you're with us to guide us and direct us and lead us in the way we ought to go. Lord, we do pray for our country today. We ask you to undertake for our nation. And we know the election is coming up before too much longer, and we just pray that you'll give much wisdom and understanding to everyone who has the privilege of voting. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might truly do your will. Lord, we just commit it into your hands and pray that you would have mercy upon us. We pray that you would bring us to repentance as a nation, our Father, that we might realize how far we have fallen from your ideal. And Lord, we just thank you for the way in which you helped us in the beginning and down through the years. And now it seems so many have turned aside and turned away from you. We pray, O God, that you would wake us up and help us to stand for the truth and to do your will and to walk in the way that you would have us to go. Oh, we praise, dear Lord, that your holy name be exalted and that we would love you as we should. We know that you love us. You've told us that so many times in the scriptures, and we certainly want to accept that and believe it and follow through. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your grace and love to us. Guide and help us now in the service today and throughout the coming days. We do pray for those who are especially ill today, Lord. We know that there's a number that are suffering, and we ask you to help them especially. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn once again to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Well, I didn't mention it, but we are going to be having a representative from Genesis Women's Center here in August. Not sure exactly which Sunday yet, but we'll get that worked out. But be praying for that work as well. They do a great work, and we'll have an update from them. All right, we're looking here in Mark chapter 4. Talking about the parables of Jesus. This was his method of teaching, wasn't it? He's teaching the people about the kingdom of God and using these stories that he takes out of nature or various other everyday subjects and shows a spiritual example from that. Last week we looked at the parable of the sower and the four types of soil. Jesus said this is one of the main parables that he based upon many of the other stories that he told. The main teaching there is that the seed that he spoke of is the Word of God. And the soils represent the listeners, how they receive the Word into their lives. Most of them, were for various reasons, do not respond to the Word. We saw three out of the four, for one reason or another, did not receive it. Only those whose hearts were prepared could receive the Word of God and obey it and bring forth fruit, which is what the Lord wants us to do, isn't it? Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. You abide in me and you'll bring forth much fruit. And that's what the Lord wants from us, isn't it? This morning we want to look at these other parables Jesus used in this chapter, beginning at Verse 21, he talks about the parable of the candle, as it says in our Bible. But the candle that Jesus spoke about was actually a small clay oil lamp. And this is what they used for illumination in those days. They would put one up in a special place on the wall, and it would illuminate the whole room so people could see what they needed to see. Without it, the room would be dark, and it would be foolish, as he said here. I think Jesus is kind of have a sense of humor in what he's saying here. Can you imagine getting a light and putting it under a bushel basket or under your bed? What good would it do? You would still have the darkness, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be able to see any more or very little more than you did before. He says, no. You put it in its proper place. Here, a candlestick or the lampstand, and a special place where you can use it as it is intended to be used, so that it'll shine forth and accomplish its purpose. So he's talking about a light. You know, the Bible talks a lot about light, doesn't it? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway, right? The word of God. Once again, we saw that the seed was the Word. Now we see that the light, the lamp, is the Word. It enlightens our footsteps. It shows us the way to go. That's the reason we need to continually turn once and again to the Word of God. He has the answers that we need. So Jesus has come now with the message of the kingdom of God. He said this is what he's coming to introduce to them, who he is, and especially reveal to them the Father, what kind of God he is, and to open up the kingdom of God to all those who are willing to receive him. Right? This is what he's doing. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so this is his message. He's opened up the way for us to enter into his kingdom. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus equates himself with the light, doesn't he? The Word is the light. Jesus is the light. And they always agree. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. During the early part of his life, Jesus did not manifest himself. We know very little of what happened to him from the time he was born. We see that at Christmas time every year, right? Over and over. But then from there, he's 12 years old, there's a little incident. And then we don't see him again until he's 30 years old. We don't know what happened in between there, but we do know that he lived a righteous life, and we know that he developed a habit of being into synagogue every Sabbath, right? Okay, you need to be here every Sunday. There you go. Okay, at any rate, we find that he was born in a small town, grew up in obscurity, and very little is known about that. But now here he is at 30 years old. He comes on the scene, manifesting himself as the way of salvation. Can you imagine how the people must have taken that? You know, these Jewish people that have always been reading their Old Testament down through the years, all of a sudden this man comes up and presents himself as the way of salvation. You can almost see why they questioned it, right? And yet we know that, of course, in his case, it's the truth. He is the way of salvation. He says that very clearly. So we must not hide the light from the world, the light of the gospel. He's talked here about Christ being the light. We need to reveal him. The Word is the light. We need to preach the Word, as it says. Get the gospel out and proclaim it in the words that we use. So this is what he's saying. Nothing is hidden which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. So he says, you know, we need to enlighten the room, enlighten the world. Let's let people know what's happening and who is the Savior. That's what he's presenting to us here. We must not hide the light, but rather proclaim it. And our actions and our outreach should show forth what we believe about him to those who do not know the Lord, those who are in darkness. A young boy about 9 years old went with his parents to Europe one summer. And part of their tour included visits to the great cathedrals of the past. And as he visited the cathedrals, he saw the massive stained glass portraits of the disciples and of all the other saints of the past. He was very impressed as he stood in these great empty halls, looking through the beautiful stained glass windows. Upon returning to his church, he was asked by his Sunday school teacher about the great churches of Europe, and what he liked the most about them. He thought for a moment and he said, I love the sense of awesomeness and the hugeness of who God must be. Can you imagine that coming from a 9-year-old boy? He saw the greatness of God in these places, thinking of that. And then she asked him a question. She says, "What is a saint?" You know, he must have talked about the saints portrayed on the windows and so forth. She asked him, "Well, what is a saint?" So he thought back about it, and he came up with it. He says, "A saint is a person that light shines through." A saint is a person whom the light shines through. You know, the scripture says that we are saints, right? Do you believe that? Yeah, okay. We're saints, and we need to let the light shine through us, right? The scripture says Christ in you, right? Christ is in you. Let him shine forth to those that you come in contact with. So this is what he's saying here. So this is a good definition of what a saint is, what we're supposed to be, that we let the light of Christ shine. Just like the moon reflects the sun, we need to reflect the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world." Before we saw it, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now he says, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So how do we glorify our Father? By letting the light shine, right? And how do we let the light shine? He says that they may see what? Your good works. Now, you know, sometimes we Baptists, we kind of poo-poo the works part. You're not saved by works. No, we're not saved by works. But we are to do good works, aren't we? To demonstrate that we have light, that we are the life, that we have the life of Christ within us. Look at verse 23. It says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." He says, "Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." So Jesus is urging people here to listen carefully. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen carefully to God's word. When we hear his word, we become responsible to obey it and to grow in our knowledge. The more we understand, the more he will enlighten us to this truth. The one who only listens in a superficial way will not receive the blessings he offers, he says. The ones who has will receive more. The one who does not have anything will lose even that which he hath. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So James is saying to us here, we need to hear the word, yes, look into the perfect law of liberty, but then put it into action. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. It doesn't do much good to just hear something and then forget about it. Let it go in, as they say, one ear and out the other. No, we need to hear it and put it into practice. Do what God tells us to do. So, we find here that this is what the Lord wants us to do. Let your light shine. Let your light shine before others. Don't be afraid. Do what is right in God's sight. And accomplish your will, His will. And serve Him faithfully. Be doers of the word. Okay, the second parable we find here is that of the growing seed in verse 26. We're back in Mark chapter 4, by the way. Verse 26, he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." Okay, sowing the seed, which is what? What's the seed? The word, right. Okay, sowing the seed into the ground, and the seed, and he should sleep, rise night and day, takes some time, right? And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. He doesn't know how it works. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. It takes time for the crop to grow. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So, we don't always understand how things work, do we, in the kingdom of God? And we, but what he tells us to do is what? Cast the seed into the ground. Sow the seed. Spread the word. Let it go out and let God work through that. I saw a church sign one time. It said, "We sow the seed, God produces the harvest." You see, he's the one that has to work in someone's life and change them for the better, bringing them to a true salvation. So we find that the man here who's sowing the seed represents a believer in this case, I think, who shares the word with other people. It says a man cast seed into the ground. Back in the first parable we saw, Jesus himself was the one sowing. But here he just says a man, whoever he may be. He sows the seed, gets the word, gives it to someone else. He then watches and waits to see what will happen. Night and day, what can he do? All he can do is water the seed, care for it, make sure the ground is right. But he can't make it grow. That's up to God. As time goes by, he notices changing taking place. All of a sudden, there's a little bit of a green plant coming up from the ground. The farmer sees there. And in the life, in the spiritual lesson that Jesus is teaching here, he sees changes taking place in this person's life. The one that he has shared the word with, little by little, he is enlightened more and more and understands more and more. And finally, the fruit appears. The person understands. He puts his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he begins to grow, studying the Word, praying, and obeying God's will, and bringing forth fruit. I think this is the unconscious growth that's taking place here that God has to do. You know, we have to trust the Lord to use the Word that we give forth, right? We can't do it ourselves, but we can pray. We can seek His will and allow Him to work through us. And then when it's all over, He says He comes and He reaps the harvest. Jesus said in one place, talking to the disciples about one person sows, another comes along and reaps later, perhaps. You know, we don't always, it's not always the person who gives forth the gospel that sees the fruit. But someone will. And he says he comes in and he reaps. He puts in the sickle and the harvest is reaped. So it's encouraging to see when people actually are saved. I know we're reading the missionary letter recently. The Owens were talking about it. Some people that they had witnessed to, especially his wife had witnessed to down in southern Argentina. Now they moved up to northern Argentina. But now these people, the whole family, has come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And that's what happens, you know. Then you just rejoice in the harvest and all that has happened. come from that. Then we see here then the parable of the mustard seed. You've probably heard of that. I know there's a little, at least there used to be, a bookstore over in Wayne is the mustard seed. And I think there's several others too, perhaps. But it's speaking once again about the Word of God, right? You see the importance that Jesus placed on the Word in all of his teachings. Verse 30 says, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God?" Notice he asked that question over and over again. What's the kingdom of God like? Okay. He says, "Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." So here Jesus is emphasizing how the kingdom of God begins in a very small way, like the mustard seed, which was the smallest seed that they knew anything about at that time. Jesus began with just calling a few disciples, didn't he? Remember, he called Andrew and Peter, and then he called James and John, and he got them together and eventually chose 12 to advance his kingdom. And here we find small things. It says, don't despise the day of small things, you know. You say, well, we're just a small church. We just have a few people. What in the world can we do? Steve was talking about that this morning. What can we do? What can we do? Well, I think we can do a lot more than we're doing, if you want me to be honest with you. But at any rate, small things. You know, children, when they're born, they're very small, aren't they? You can hold them in your arms, just 7 or 8 pounds, there you go. First thing you know, they're up walking around, running around, and 2 or 3 days later, they're all grown, right? It seems that way, doesn't it? And things start out small, but they can increase. And certainly this is what the Lord is talking about here, starting off with just a few people and then increasing and increasing. The day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 were saved. A little bit later, 5,000. My goodness, we're growing like leaps and bounds here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes, it would. But anyway, this tiny seed, the mustard seed, says that it grows into a gigantic plant like a tree. And greater than all the herbs and has great branches comes out of it. This little tiny, tiny seed produces a huge plant. And he says this is the way the kingdom of God is. It speaks of the phenomenal growth that we have in the kingdom of God. After Jesus died on the cross to atone for our sins and arose again, he commissioned his disciples to spread the gospel. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And make disciples of all nations." He commissioned them to go. And Acts 1:15, we find 120 people gathered. And then, as I said, 3,000 that on the day of Pentecost came to know the Lord. Thus the church began and has been growing until today. We have millions in the world who profess faith in Christ. Now, I'm not saying that they're all saved. And we know very well that they're not, right? And but who is to say? I mean, God is the judge, right? But we know that there are, no doubt, millions of people who are true believers in Christ. And so we see here the teaching here. Jesus is saying, don't be discouraged with small things. Use what you have to bring glory to God, and let it grow. Let it grow. And to bring forth this huge plant. Thus the church began, and it keeps on growing to all those who are professing faith in Christ. Notice there is a warning here, though. Thinking about, you know, Jesus said that the parable of the sower was basic. He says, if you know this parable, you can know the other parables, right? And so here it speaks about this huge plant coming together, and the fowls of the air lodging in the shadow of it. Now, who are the fowls of the air? If you look back into the parable of the sower, it says here in verse 4, it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. The fowls of the air. Then over, who are the fowls of the air? The birds. It says here in verse 15, and these are they by the wayside, where the word was sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So here, the fowls of the air are equated with Satan and his influence in the world and all of that. And it makes it sound as if the church is going to be infected with the satanic influence. And I think we see that today. So many things that call themselves Christian or anything but. And Satan is allowed to get in and sow the tares among the wheat, as it says in another parable. And here this great plant that grows and becomes even larger than ordinary can also be influenced by Satan and his demons. Christendom today not only has true believers, but many that are following another gospel and do not really know the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see that? What's the light? Christ is the light, right? The Word of God is the light. But here it says Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, seeking to deceive people. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see? So here we have the ministers who are ministers of Satan rather than ministers of Christ, pretending to be light when they're actually spreading darkness. So we have to be careful about that and make sure that we understand that everyone you hear talking about Christ doesn't necessarily mean that he's preaching the truth, right? And anyhow, we just need to realize that. So, as I said before, it's like the parable of the tares. Satan comes along, the enemy comes, and sows weeds in a field of wheat. The owner instructs his workers to leave the tares until the harvest is reaped, and then remove them. The tares are burned up, and the wheat is gathered into the barn. So, he says, what are we supposed to do about these people that are false Christians, false believers? He said, leave them alone until the judgment comes. and God will take care of it. Now, that don't mean that we follow what they believe. We don't take their side or anything like that. But he says, leave them be until the judgment comes. So Satan seeks to destroy the church by placing his followers alongside Christians. This creates all kinds of problems, confusion. Must be careful to hear the true word of God and not the lies put forth by Satan. And we have to be careful that what we believe is really what is in the word of God and follow that. Obey the Lord. Follow him in every area of your life, and you can't go wrong. Don't allow Satan to turn you aside after some other doctrine that is not true. So Jesus taught many parables. Notice his last two verses here. It says, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. You see, Jesus taught the multitudes with parables. He told his disciples what they actually meant, you see, making sure that they understood, because he's going to send them forth with the message, and they have to understand exactly what it is that he's teaching. See, he always explained the parables to the disciples that they might be able to truly spread the truth and not be confused. Because, you know, when it's different stories, you can maybe get the wrong idea. You need to know exactly what he is teaching. I know in the parables, as you read various things, people have different ideas about what this means and what that means. Well, Jesus tells his disciples exactly what it means so that they can explain it to others. And we're called today to hear God's word in our hearts and to give it forth, to enlighten others to their need of salvation, first of all. That's the most basic need that anyone has, is to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that they have salvation, that they have a home in heaven, that God truly loves them, that he has saved them by his grace and mercy. That's the first thing that anyone needs to know. And then also to, as believers, that we are obedient, that we're walking in the light, that we're doing his will in all things, seeking to make a difference in this world as long as he pushes here. And we need to be that light shining for others to see. So we sow the seed, but God produces the crop. See? Paul says that he and Apollos and these other men were workers, but God gives the increase. You see, God's the one who has to, in final analysis, bring forth the fruit. So we can rejoice that the church in general has grown from a very small group to a worldwide movement. But we must also be careful not to follow false teachers. Make sure that we are obeying what God says, and always examine what is being preached and make sure that it really is what God is saying to us. So may the Lord speak to our hearts today and help us to receive his word graciously and be obedient to him. We thank you, our Father, for your word, and thank you for all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we are a part of the kingdom of God, and that someday we'll be together with you. And we're rejoicing in that and looking forward to that day. We pray for any who are listening who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would put their faith and trust in him and follow him and live a righteous life. May your holy will be done today. Guide and direct us and lead us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.